Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 17. Sattva sandayate jnanam. Rajaso lobha eva cha. Pramada moho tamaso. Bhavato jnanam eva cha. Sattvat, from the mode of goodness, sanjayate, develops, jnanam, knowledge, rajasa, from the mode of passion, lobha, greed, eva, certainly, cha, also, Pramada, madness, moha, and delusion, tamasa, from the mode of ignorance, bhavataha, develop, agyanam, nonsense, eva, certainly, cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Purport. Since the present civilization is not very congenial to the living entities, Krishna consciousness is recommended. Through Krishna consciousness, society will develop the mode of goodness. When the mode of goodness is developed, people will see things as they are. In the mode of ignorance, people are just like animals, cannot see things clearly. In the mode of ignorance, for example, they do not see that by killing one animal, they're taking the chance of being killed by the same animal in the next life. People have no education and actual knowledge. They become irresponsible. To stop this irresponsibility, education for developing the mode of goodness of the people in general must be there. When they're actually educated in the mode of goodness, they will become sober in full knowledge of things as they are. Then people will be happy and prosperous. Even if the majority of the people are unhappy and prosperous, if a certain percentage of the population develops Krishna consciousness, and become situated in the mode of goodness, then there is a possibility for peace and prosperity all over the world. Otherwise, if the world is devoted to the modes of passion and ignorance, there can be no peace or prosperity. In the mode of passion, people become greedy, and their hankering for sense enjoyment has no limit. One can see that even if one has enough money and adequate arrangements for sense gratification, there is neither happiness nor peace of mind. That is not possible because one is situated in the mode of passion. If one wants happiness at all, his money will not help him. He has to elevate himself to the mode of goodness by practicing Krishna consciousness. When one is engaged in the mode of passion, not only is he mentally unhappy, but his profession, and occupation are also very troublesome. He has to devise so many plans and schemes to acquire enough money to maintain his status quo. This is all miserable. In the mode of ignorance, people become mad. Being distressed by their circumstances, they take shelter of intoxication, thus they sink further into ignorance. Their futures in life is very dark. But sandayate jnanam rajaso lobha eva cha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnanam eva cha. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. From the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. At the beginning of the chapter, Krishna had said, Param bhuya pravakshami jnanam jnanam uttama yajgyat muniya sarve pram siddhim ito gata. I think that's the right verse. this some more in another chapter. Parambhu puya pravakshami gyanam gyanam uttama yekyasham muniya sarve pram siddhim togata. Now I'll explain to you better knowledge, knowing which you'll obtain to the supreme destination. All the great sages, by following this knowledge, attain to the supreme destination. Supreme Personality of God has said, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained supreme perfection. So why is it the best of all knowledge? Because it's something that we're experiencing all the time. If you probably notice that most people in the material world are not in the mode of goodness nowadays. Did you know this said on book distribution? You find a few people in ignorance? Yes, it's a practical experience. The Bhagavad Gita can't be 100% wrong, especially when it's talking about the modes of nature. And here it says that people want to become happy, but they can't become happy if they're in the modes of material nature. It doesn't matter how much money they have or what they have materially, that if they're in ignorance and passion, they can't have any peace of mind. And if your mind's not peaceful, how can you become happy? Nashti buddhi ayuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyantak shantir, ashantasya kutaksukam. For one who's not in Krishna consciousness or divine consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So if everyone you're looking at you hate, it's not a very pleasant experience, would it be? You despise, you hate, you're envious of them. It'd be rather unpleasant life. And everything you looked at, you thought belonged to you. And you're lamenting and hankering all day long. Sound familiar? Anyone ever hanker and lament during the day? So, people have been trained that somehow or another, money, sweeter than honey. If you get money, then you can get honey. And that the professional soldier, the thief, and the merchant, they risk their very dear lives just to get money. But we can see that the people who have money, they simply want more money. As a matter of fact, they not only want money nowadays, but they think that you're breathing my air. You shouldn't be here because you're breathing my air. There's not enough air for both of us. You're drinking my water. You're taking up my space. So, in order to save the planet, you have to disappear. So that's called greed. In this planet, there's enough for everyone's need, but there's not enough for everyone's greed. And the modern civilization is simply cultivating greed. The biggest personalities that are influencing everyone are the people who are the most greedy, not the most knowledgeable, spiritually knowledgeable, not the kind people, not the intelligent people, spiritually intelligent people, people who are simply trying to think, they were envious that you're taking up space in this world. And those are the people who are asked for their advice. Because everyone, the majority of the people, are trying to become greedy themselves. They think greed is the goal of life. greed to gratify their senses. They think that they should gratify, as Krishna says, chintyam aparayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama paboga paramam etavam iti nischita asya pashu sutarabhada kama krota parayana ihanti kama bogartha anye nartha sanchaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore there can be no measurement of their anxiety, being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger. They secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. I remember one time I was on an airplane, and the person said, when you could actually smoke on the airplane, the person next to me was smoking a cigarette in the no smoking section. And he was eating a dead animal while drinking some rotten grapes and listening to music on his headphones and watching the movie. And it's telling me how much anxiety he was in. Now, if the mind is uncontrolled, if it's going in five different directions at the same time, obviously there's going to be some anxiety. So for one who's not in Krishna consciousness, whose mind is not peaceful and satisfied, experiencing happiness, then one can have neither controlled mind. And if one doesn't see things properly, if one believes that one is the body and that one will soon have to leave the body under some unknown circumstances, then how can one become peaceful? Just like in America, before they execute a criminal, they let him have whatever he'd like to eat the night before. So you can order, if he was a vegetarian, pizza, gulab jamuns, halva, sandesh, kachoris, everything. But obviously, if you know the next day you're going to be executed, hung or electric chair, you probably won't have so much of an appetite. Besides that, it's rather unpleasant getting hung when you have a full stomach. So sometimes people order all these food, but they won't eat anything. So someone's going to be executed the next day, but when are we going to be executed? Tomorrow? The day after tomorrow? 500 days after tomorrow? 1,000 days after tomorrow? But sooner or later, everyone gets executed in the material world. So therefore, that's why we sometimes lose our appetite. Because we know we're not going to be here forever. If one thinks that this is the last life, or one doesn't know where one is going, just like if someone came in here dressed in all black, you couldn't see his face, they were completely black, they had a black coat on, and they grabbed you and said, come with me. What's the first thing you would ask? What's the weather outside? No, he asked, where are you taking me? You wonder, where am I going? Why are you dragging me out of here? So similarly, when we have to leave this body, if we don't know where we're going, it's rather disturbing. Especially if you see some odd-looking people coming and grabbing you. Rah, come with me. Where am I going? Darshan. With who? With Yam. Yam? We call him Yam. That's his nickname. So people don't know where they're going. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't even know what's going to happen the next day nowadays. It used to be, things were used to be slower. But now people don't know if they're going to get locked down again, be forced to take another vaccination. There's going to be any heat this winter. Quite a bit of an anxiety. And if there's nothing else to think about except for that, then how can there be any happiness? Generally speaking, if there's a little heat, one doesn't think, oh, this, I'm so happy there's so heat, so much heat. But if it's only cold, if it's freezing cold, if you go outside when it's minus one to get warm, then you know the material world is facing some difficulty. So in the absence of Krishna consciousness, it's all very unpleasant. But at least with Krishna consciousness, one can understand why we're suffering and that there's some future, there is some hope for the future. There's something to look forward to. People don't know, as it says here, that whatever they're doing, they're going to get a reaction for. They think it's fine drinking these, getting intoxicated, or doing all kinds of things that disturb people's minds or other living entities' minds. They think it's perfectly all right to take a can of Raid and kill all the insects in your house because there's not enough room for both of us. You have too many legs, I'm going to kill you. I don't like legs. Some people don't know that their future is very dark if they don't get knowledge. So what's more valuable, to give people all kinds of material comforts or to give them some transcendental knowledge so they can actually know what to do to become mentally comfortable, mentally satisfied by doing the right thing, by doing something for their permanent future rather than for something for running after some temporary happiness, which they never really get. So the conclusion is that this Krishna consciousness movement is the, although it appears to have not much going for it in terms of material assets, but we have one thing, we have knowledge of how to actually become happy and peaceful. If we become Krishna conscious, if we give up the idea that all these different toys that people are running after will make them happy, will make us happy. Do you meet very many happy people on the street? But they all have good vibes. What's that? Positive. But until they meet a devotee, they're usually in completely in their own world, on the mental platform. Running downtown to buy a gift and making sure that they're going to spend less money on the person than the person's going to spend on their gift. So Christmas turns out to be a profit. Merry Christmas. I remember when I used to be in the airport, one day a year there would be some spiritual atmosphere on Christmas Day. Other than that, the rest of the Christmas was just, it was a business. People running around to buy a present because they have to do it and trying to make sure that they get a profit at the end of the Christmas. Otherwise, the whole atmosphere is just completely business. And one day they used to have Christmas Day, there used to be some atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere, but that disappeared. Now it's all business. So they can have Christmas with the family, which means they get intoxicated, they cry. They eat some dead bird or something. And they pray that Santa Claus will come and fill their sock up. And the next day they wake up with a headache. Merry Christmas. And the people don't have a family. They're so miserable, at least in America. They think everyone else is happy on Christmas Day except for me. I'm the only one who's miserable. So the day with the greatest numbers of suicides in America is on Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. Bang! So again, this chanting of Hare Krishna, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, simple living and high thinking, it's the only hope for ourselves. Even if we can't save anyone else, at least we can save ourselves. And some fortunate people may get some of our literature and read it and realize that there's an alternative. While the majority of the people are just running around trying to figure out how to have a Merry Christmas, because the rest of the year is quite miserable. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? It's funny that they used to have these movies. It was called Tiny Tim. I forget what the... It was something about this little boy was sick. And this Uncle Scrooge, you ever hear of Uncle Scrooge? Christmas Carol was called. It was a movie in America. I guess it didn't spread to so far. Anyhow, this Scrooge means, you know, Scrooge means a miserly person. So Uncle Scrooge, he wouldn't give anything in charity to anyone. Although he was very wealthy. And Tiny Tim was sick. And unless he got his medicine, he would die. Of course, if he got his medicine, he'd probably die quicker. Considering the type of medicine they have. In any case, so Father Christmas came and visited Uncle Scrooge and showed him what his next life would be. And then he got the message that it wasn't going to be very pleasant. And he became generous. So he gave Tiny Tim some medicine, and he got cured. He could walk again. So that's the highest thing they have. Their highest ideal is don't be so miserly. Be a little generous. Be a little bit selfless. That's the highest. They have no conception of who God is, what karma is. The highest good is just give something in charity. Someone. Because they give someone in charity to the, what do they call that? What's the name of the charity where people ring a bell? And Salvation Army, do they have that here? The Salvation Army? No. Salvation Army, they ring a bell and they collect for the homeless, for whatever it is. They used to be, they're a charitable organization. They used to go out in the street and chant the names of God. They used to do Hare Nama on the street. But then they got criticized. So they decided, we don't like to be criticized, so we should do what the people like us to do. So they started to collect on the street for donations to help the poor. So now they're in America, the Salvation Army is considered a charitable organization. But they give anything to the poor, including chicken and things like that, dead animals to the poor. So they're just collecting more and more karma. In the name of charity, they're going to become a chicken in the next lifetime. Now they're putting in the pot, for people's pots, chickens. In the next lifetime, they're going to become a chicken. Somebody's going to put them in a pot. In the name of doing good to others. Because people don't know what good is. They don't know how to do good for others. So they can't do good for themselves. They can't do good for anyone else. But But if they have knowledge, then they can actually do something valuable with their lives. And similarly with us, the more knowledge we get, the more practical knowledge we get, the more we can do something good for ourselves and therefore be able to do good for others too. Any questions, comments? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.